Welcome to another episode of Locked On 49ers. As we do to end the week, keys to victory, looking ahead at the Cincinnati Bengals in week 14. How are the 49ers going to go into Cincinnati and win this football game? We've got some notes on the 49ers pass rush and some interesting comments from 49ers great Hall of Famer quarterback Steve Young on the 49ers current quarterback situation coming up on this episode of Locked On 49ers.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker here with you at BD Peacock, at Eric underscore Crocker on Twitter. Croc had to get rid of his spectacles for this because things are getting serious right now in week 14 as we get ready for this game. We'll have the injury report as well, latest on who's looking good and who is not for this game.
I got a question before we start.
I like
Dante Whitner posted a video shortly, not too long ago. December 8th. Is that today?
That was yesterday. Yeah, that was
okay. Yesterday.
So we're recording this Thursday night. So that was Wednesday.
So Wednesday, Dante Whitner puts out a video, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's just kind of talking through his first interception that he threw, the one that right to Bobby Wagner. And I have a question. When an 8-year veteran makes a rookie mistake, what do you call it?
Because
you know, that's the thing, right? Oh, rookie mistakes, you know, not ready to play, you know, because you don't want to have to live through those rookie mistakes. But when an 8-year vet makes a rookie mistake, what do you call that?
Yeah, we kind of talked about that earlier on in the week, and the lack of progression. Jimmy Garoppolo still making rookie mistakes. It's not great. And if the argument against playing a rookie is that he's going to make rookie mistakes, well, the guy you're running out there is still making some rookie mistakes. And maybe Trey Lance would make a lot more rookie mistakes than Jimmy Garoppolo would. But I did see that breakdown from Dante Whitner. Now, if you guys don't remember, that was the first interception of the game, was the one to Bobby Wagner. And it was – who was coming across the field? Was it –
Trent Sherfield.
It was Sherfield. Yeah. Sherfield was being targeted on a little crosser, and it was play action. And Bobby Wagner started to bite on the play action, then realized it was play action. It wasn't a run. So he dropped back into the zone, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw it right to him.
Well, so, there's two rookie mistakes that Garoppolo made.
Right. So one, sell the fake better. So
didn't sell the fake good enough.
Sucks him in. Or two, when you see that he's dropping back into the zone, don't throw it into the linebacker's chest.
Wait till he hits the second window. So
selling
the fake and like the handling of balls, the handling of footballs, that's something that Jimmy Garoppolo had been really good with, you know, like just his play fakes and everything like that. But for whatever reason, and maybe he just rushed through it this time because he wanted to snap his head around and get that ball in there while the linebacker was down. But he didn't even hold that ball out and show it to the linebacker to really hold the fake. That, oh yeah, the ball is going to the running back. Hey, we really are running. So if you just kind of go back, he tucked it just a little bit, but never stuck the ball out. The linebacker sees that, oh, let me drop back. It's a pass. And so that's the first mistake. And then the second mistake, not letting the receiver clear to the second window. Again, if Trey Lance does that, I would say that's a rookie mistake. You should know, you should know better, but you have to learn from that mistake, right? That's what rookie mistakes are. They're learning mistakes that rookies make. You have to learn from that, Trey Lance. But when it's Jimmy Garoppolo, you should know better. You should know that that first window throw is not there. You have to let it clear to the second window. And as Dante Whitner showed, it would have been a big gain if he would have let it, you know. But we shouldn't have those type of misplays with the 8-year veteran that people are counting on to help win games.
Right. And that was just one play. He made some good plays too. Perfect ball placement to George Kittle to allow him to catch and run, some things like that. So it's not all bad from Jimmy Garoppolo, but I get what you're saying about the rookie mistake type stuff. And I do feel like sometimes Jimmy Garoppolo is rushing a little bit because he wants to get the ball out so fast. And I think he rushes through the play fake and then he rushes through the throw because he's trying to get it to his guy. You know, let the play come to you a little bit more. And I think Garoppolo would benefit from that quite a bit, although things go fast in the NFL, and it's a lot of Jimmy Garoppolo's strengths come from quick release, getting the ball out in 2.3 seconds, you know. So you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the 49ers quarterback controversy. You know, let's skip the stuff with the injury report. We'll get to that. Steve Young Steve Young, I caught his interview on KNBR, Croc, and you did not. You caught his interview on 49ers Talk, which is the podcast from Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt, right? From the NBC Sports Bay Area podcast about the 49ers. And he had some interesting comments on both of those interviews. So let's get into some of this stuff and this quarterback stuff and get that out of the way before we start looking ahead to the game that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start. And maybe, who knows, we might see some Trey Lance here. But what was your big takeaway? Because I saw a lot of people on Twitter, and I didn't catch it, talking about this interview, Steve Young with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt, talking about, I think trust was a big factor in this, right?
He touched on a couple of different things, and yeah, a big part of it. And, you know, I don't know how much of you guys have been listening to what Steve Young has been saying along the way with this whole thing, but, you know, he's given his opinion all the way around, whether it was starting the season, him saying, like, things might get a little weird. He's talked about his situation with Joe Montana and how awkward that was, you know, for him. But he also touched on trust, right? Just Kyle Shanahan trusting the quarterback. And he feels like after that playoff run, Kyle Shanahan didn't quite trust Jimmy Garoppolo 100% to fully unlock what the offense is capable of doing.
It's what it looks like, too, from an outsider, from the outside looking in. It looks like Kyle loses his trust. And it's almost like a series-to-series thing, a game-to-game, series-to-series situation when Kyle loses trust. And he'll go away from him, and then he'll trust him again a little bit later. And we saw that last week. And I think it's clear that there are some issues with trust, and there's a reason the 49ers went out and got a new rookie quarterback, right? So he obviously trusts Jimmy Garoppolo more than Trey Lance, though, right? At this point in week 14 in Trey Lance's rookie season, or else the rookie be out there, because I think trust is huge for Kyle Shanahan. And I think it's a big deal for him too.
And yes, Steve Young alluded to that as well, saying everything, you know, all the reading between the lines here, he hasn't been told anything, but he's looking at it like Kyle wants Trey Lance. I guess he said they thought it would be closer at camp, which if you were keeping track of everything that was going on at camp, at least from the outside looking in with their reporters and everything like that, it sounded like it was more than close, right? It sounded like, hey, like, and this is not from just, and obviously you have Grant Cohn, you know, kind of pushing the narrative or whatever, but, you know, just even other guys, Matt Maiocco, Matt Barrows, I mean, they were singing the praises of this young guy. So when Steve Young says, well, you know, he didn't really push him in training camp, everybody else said otherwise. But Kyle Shanahan shot it down. It was like, nah, going with, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's the guy, he's our starter. Even when Trey Lance started off extremely high, he did say that he felt like Kyle is potentially looking for a reason to bench Jimmy Garoppolo, but Trey Lance isn't giving them that reason. That's me kind of paraphrasing it.
That's really interesting. So it is, and that's sort of what we had talked about this week, right? It's about Trey more than it's about Jimmy. And that would make sense if Trey's not pushing Jimmy enough to take the job. It's not about Jimmy losing the job as much as it's about Trey going out and winning it. And maybe that's not happening.
But what my pushback is, if that's truly what Kyle Shanahan wants, right? If Kyle truly wants Trey Lance to take like hold of that, when Trey Lance was hot, he would have mixed him in and gave him first team reps, and he never did. So to me, that doesn't say that you want that. It actually says the opposite to me. It actually tells me that you literally were sold on sitting the guy, which is fine. If that was what you wanted to do, you wanted to sit Trey Lance and let him develop organically, fine. But what Steve Young is saying is, like, no, he's looking for a reason to play the young guy, but the young guy's just not ready. I'm like, man, when he had the reason to actually, like, throw him in, give him reps, and make it a competition, he didn't do it. And there was a window to do that early on in training camp.
And to that point of sitting your quarterback, and this is coming from a guy, Steve Young, who has sat, and he hated it, which I would imagine you would. And he at first he called it wasted years, and then he pulled back on that a little bit. He said, okay, maybe if you sit for 1 year, it could be okay in certain situations. But basically, he called them lost years, and that's sort of where he settled on what he wanted to call it. He called sitting for a season lost years, and it's up to the quarterback to make the most of those. And you can't get everything. You can't get all of the prep and the play and the growing pains and go through the things you would if you were playing, but you can mentally get reps and you can go through the game week and prepare as if you're the starter. And like literally, you are going to start the next game. If you're Trey Lance, you're preparing this week as if you are going to start against the Cincinnati Bengals. And then he said, you get to game day when you're doing that, and then you're disappointed because you're not playing, even though you knew you weren't going to play. Then after the game, he's running sprints. So he feels like he did something. And I thought that was really interesting, is he would get a physical workout and he would get the mental workout as if he was going to be the starter every single week. And so at least you can get those reps in, those mental reps in week to week, but you're still going to be missing a lot. And so basically a lost year is what he calls it for Trey Lance right now.
And he also closed out by saying nothing beats playing.
Right.
And he talked about guys like Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, you know, Justin Fields, you know, even Mac Jones, but, you know, more so the other guys because they're not having the success Mac Jones is having. But he said those guys are going to go through this season and they're going to take a step back and be like, wow, what the heck was that? But they know what it looks like. They know what it feels like. And they know how to prepare this offseason. So essentially saying, yes, it wasn't great, but they're going to be better for it. I think where the 49ers are right now, which is in a weird place because those other teams weren't really projected to be playoff teams. 49ers were. So, you know, if Trey Lance was on with the same Trey Lance that he is now, but was on the Jets, he would have played this whole time, you know, because the expectations would have been lower. I think the expectations being higher where the 49ers are, and Kyle Shanahan, one winning season in 4 years heading into this year, there's a little bit more pressure to be good right away. I think he leaned on Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit more to get him there.
Then you also have to take the element of Trey Lance and his exact situation, because you're talking about Steve Young, how he felt about sitting. You're talking about some other quarterbacks in those situations and what it's like for a certain player to sit. But for Trey Lance, the biggest thing with Trey Lance, and we had talked about it, is the lack of playing time. And he's missing. And so now you go through a second full season of him not playing at all. And I can't imagine that's good for a 21-year-old's development to not play football for 2 years. So
they weren't prioritizing developing him in that way. Like, and again, we could talk about the other guys, different situations. Those guys didn't go to, you know, teams that were planning on like really winning and pushing the envelope that way. Maybe the Bears, but definitely not the Jags, definitely not the Jets. But the focal point of the season was developing that guy, developing Trevor Lawrence, developing Zach Wilson. The main emphasis for the 49ers was not developing Trey Lance. It was having a winning season and making the playoffs.
Did you ever see the movie Lost Boys?
No.
From the 80s? Oh, it's a great one. You got to check that one out. They can do a remake of Lost Boys with Steve Young and Trey Lance because of their lost years as NFL starting quarterbacks. All right, we've got injury reports coming up, some stats on Nick Bosa and the 49ers pass rush, some stats on Elijah Mitchell and his rookie season. Will he be playing this week? Not practicing so far. And of course, our keys to victory for week 14 coming up. Guys, it's never too early to start thinking about the Super Bowl, especially when it's right down the road in Los Angeles. Will it be the 49ers there? I don't know. Super Bowl 56 at SoFi is less than 100 days away, and On Location, the official hospitality partner of the NFL, is the only place to score a once-in-a-lifetime Super Bowl ticket and experience package. Select your exact seats and choose from elite experiences featuring an exclusive pregame celebration with NFL legends, five-star LA hotels, and food chefed up by the great Wolfgang Puck. Visit onlocationexp.com/SB56 for more information, or search Super Bowl On Location. That's onlocationexp.com/SB56, or just search Super Bowl On Location. Let's get there. I have a feeling about Super Bowl this season. Let's get there with On Location. Whoo, some new flavors of Built Bar coming. How about eggnog Built Bar? Croc, are you an eggnog guy?
I like eggnog. Okay. And now that I'm a little bit more mature and older, I like, you know, like
right, yeah, kind of grow into it, and then you spike it a little bit. It gets even better, I think, with age, that eggnog. Well, there's eggnog Built Bars. You can even dip an eggnog Built Bar into your eggnog, and you would be rolling, get a little protein along with your delicious beverage this holiday. And there's a ton of great flavors and holiday goodness with Built Bars this holiday season. Grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or really even better than a candy bar. Amazingly low in calories, low in sugar, low in net carbs, low in fat, but high in protein. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy, along with eggnog, all their classic flavors, peanut butter brownie, raspberry mint brownie, cookies and cream, double chocolate, cherry Garcia, and Built Bar gives you that extra fuel you need if you want to bust down those mall doors, if you're doing some Christmas shopping, if you need a little boost on the back nine, which is what I did earlier today. Go into the big Built Bar before the 10th hole and get yourself a little protein for that back nine. And I did shoot better on the back nine. I think that had a little bit to do with it. So go to BuiltBar.com or Built.com. They both work, actually. Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off of your next order. That is promo code LOCKEDON for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Crocky, injury report. It's a lengthy one. It is a lengthy one. Not a lot has changed since we checked in yesterday when we did our crossover pod with the fellas from Locked On Bengals. We've got Thursday not participating in practice, Trent Cannon, Dre Greenlaw, Maurice Hurst, Elijah Mitchell, Emmanuel Mosley. Those are two big ones, along with Deebo Samuel. And everybody else looking good, fully participating. So earlier in the week, Jeff Wilson was limited. He is now a full participant, so he'll be the starter if Elijah Mitchell can't go, which would be unfortunate. But I'm seeing some people optimistic about Deebo, about Emmanuel Mosley, and about Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell, not only with a concussion, but he had a knee injury too that came out of that last game. I think there's a very good chance that all three of those guys don't play. And those are all three really big contributors for the 49ers right now, Croc. And man, it would be helpful to have Deebo and Mosley out there and Elijah Mitchell. How about this for a stat? Let's go into this stat real quick about Elijah Mitchell. This is how important Elijah Mitchell has been for the 49ers, or just how awesome he has been for the 49ers as a rookie. This stat was relayed by Al Sacco per NFL Communications. 49ers running back Elijah Mitchell had 84 scrimmage yards last week. He leads all rookies with 98.3 scrimmage yards per game and has 50-plus scrimmage yards in each of his first nine career games. So he leads all rookies in scrimmage yards. So we're talking about Ja'Marr Chase. We're talking about Najee Harris, right? We're talking about Jaylen Waddle. He leads all rookies with 98.3 scrimmage yards per game. Pretty fantastic. And he's probably not going to sniff rookie of the year, but he's been pretty awesome. You can see why Kyle Shanahan loves him. Some Elijah Mitchell, and it seems really unlikely he's going to play this. It seems really unlikely he'll play this week.
He got to stay healthy.
Yeah. And he's got an upright style that leads to, I think, getting hit. Gotta say. And
I mean, I don't know how much of that is on Kyle Shanahan. You know, he's a guy, I mean, he's had a ton of carries. You know, he's you know, back-to-back games, yeah. Well, you know, dang near 30 carries. And a lot of times, I mean, he's running into a brick wall because so many teams are just stacking the box against the 49ers.
Right, and I think when he does come back, and hopefully you have Jeff Wilson and you have Elijah Mitchell both healthy, and when Sermon comes back to put him in the mix, Jermichael Hasty's healthy. You got to mix your running backs in a little bit more because you got to try to keep that guy healthy that's doing those things for you. I think it's really important. But I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of Jeff Wilson Jr. and a little Jermichael Hasty in this game. Jermichael Hasty. Did I call him LaMichael?
Yeah, you're getting LaMichael James. And
yeah. How about this stat, Croc? This from Seth Walder of ESPN Research. Pass rush win rates for edge rushers in 2021. Pass rush win rate and double team rate. Can you guess which edge player in the NFL has been double teamed most often in 2021?
Let me guess. Eric Armstead?
No, very close. Just move a couple guys over, and it is Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is being doubled more than Myles Garrett, being doubled more than TJ Watt, being doubled more than any other edge player, more than his brother, Joey. Joey's been doubled quite a bit too. And he's still top 10 in pass rush win rate with the likes of Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. Hassan Reddick's up there. Jadeveon Clowney's up there. Max Crosby's up there. Josh Sweat and Derek Barnett are up there. Justin Houston's up there. And Nick Bosa. And Trey Hendrickson, who's going to be on the other side, is right behind Nick Bosa in pass rush win rate. So essentially, give or take, he's being doubled over 25% of the time, and he's still winning.
Wow.
About 25% of the time, which is a really nice pass
one
rush.
One out of every four reps, rate. He's beating his guy.
Yeah, for Nick Bosa, and that's including when he's being doubled. So that leads me to the idea that Kroc, and this can kind of be the first key to victory, is the pass rush. Joe Burrow is really good when teams send blitzers, and he's too good for a young player. He missed the first half second half of his rookie season. So I think in October, he finally hit his 16 game mark as an NFL starter. So he's, barely starting year two as far as the number of starts he's had in the NFL. And he's so good against the blitz. So the 49ers have to find a way to get pressure on Joe Burrow with their front four. And Nick Bosa is going to get chipped and he's going to get helped out and there's going to be doubles on him. So imagine how good Nick Bosa would be if he's not getting doubled all that much. So someone else has to step up. So that's key to victory number one for me. Get pressure with your front four. A lot of that is Nick Bosa, but who's going to step up? DJ Jones was awesome last week. Eric Armstead's got to get involved. Orden Key and Samson Abelcom, who's just not been a good free agent signing for the 49ers. Those guys got to step up, and somebody's got to win outside of Nick Bosa as a pass rusher this week.
Well, you're hoping so. Definitely have to. The secondary, you don't want to leave them out to dry, and you don't want to have them vulnerable. One thing that, you talked about injury reports, and I would like to know, where's Joe Burrow with his finger injury and how he's kind of throwing the ball? Because that was something that happened early in the last game against the Los Angeles Chargers, where he was banged up right away and didn't have his best game. Fumbled that ball away, threw multiple interceptions. So I would like to know how much, his finger had to do with more of a poor performance and how it's doing now.
He was not throwing earlier in the week, but he was back at practice Thursday and throwing. So that's looking more and more like he's feeling better and he'll play. And Joe Mixon's still out at practice for the Bengals. But as we heard from James yesterday on the crossover podcast, he expects both Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon to play. It's looking very likely that Joe Burrow plays and is going to be 100%. Joe Mixon still up in the air with his illness that is non-COVID related. All right, more keys to victory coming up. And I have this other note that I saw from Matt Barrows with some quotes from Kyle Shanahan talking about the Niners' young cornerbacks. We'll get to that stuff. The rest of the keys to victory for week 14 next. Can I tell you guys about Stance socks? I got some Stance socks for Christmas a couple years ago from my wife. San Francisco Giants Stance socks and some other ankle high socks that are good for running, athletics, working out, playing hoops, whatever. And they're fantastic. They're really high quality socks. Stance, founded in 2009. It's an apparel company. It represents a radical reinvention of socks, underwear, and active apparel with a sharp focus on comfort, quality, and creativity. And it checks the box on all three of those things on the socks that I received as a gift. A great gift idea, by the way. Socks for men. If you don't know what to get a man, get him some socks and he'll, I guarantee you, he will like them, especially if they're high quality like Stance. It brings you atypical aesthetics alongside some of pop culture's hottest collaborators for the ultimate in style and self-expression. Wu-Tang Clan socks, The Goonies, Star Wars, The Office, Marvel Universe, Major League Baseball, NBA. You get your sports fan involved with some of these socks as well. Tons of fantastic designs, and they are comfortable and they are high quality. Stance believes that the perfect fit matters more than fitting in, that those who feel good do good. Go see for yourself. Register for an account at stance.com and get 15% off your first purchase. Use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to apply that discount. Again, that's 15% off at stance.com. Enjoy the color and comfort of a life less ordinary with Stance. Crocky, what's next on your list of keys to victory for those 49ers to beat the Bengals in Cincinnati Sunday?
Man, take care of the football. Or, okay, I'll sum it up a different way.
Okay.
Be more disciplined. because that's been more of a bigger issue for the 49ers, just the discipline overall, whether it's special teams, you know, letting the punt go for a touchdown, fumbling on a punt return, you know, throwing interceptions. The false starts on offense have been crazy. Just overall, just be more disciplined.
I like that discipline. And we left turnovers off last week. It's been a key to victory almost every week. And as soon as the Niners turned the ball over, I was like, oh, we didn't hit turnovers, and the keys to victory, we're slipping, Croc. It's always got to be one of them. But I love the way you put that. Discipline is so important, and it's beyond turnovers. Like, Jimmy, check on the linebacker, check on the safety, right, before you let that thing go. That weird play with Arden Key, like hitting the dude helmet to helmet, like, you know you're going to get flagged on that. What are you doing?
Right.
Defensive pass interference. Like, there's a ton of stuff. Be disciplined. Win the, you're in the right spot, not because you got to hold on and tug somebody, right? So, yeah, I love that discipline. That is huge. Going back to the injury report.
Hold on, real quick. That was it Arden Key that did the headbutting thing?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like, when you think of
undisciplined. That was the dumbest play of the year.
Yeah, when you think of undisciplined, like, that was an extremely undisciplined play right there.
It was crazy. Emmanuel Mosley not practicing. It seems like he's going to be out this week. That's going to be tough for the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan, it sounded like, did say that maybe even Ambry Thomas is poised to overtake D'Amador Lenore in the cornerback pecking order. Now, D'Amador Lenore can't get on the field either, and when he does get on the field for two plays and makes a mistake, he gets yanked again anyway. So I don't know if that means Ambry Thomas is going to play more, or if they do need to go to another corner, if it's going to be D'Amador or it's going to be Ambry Thomas instead of Demo, or does that mean that Ambry Thomas might get a surprise start instead of Dante Johnson, who I expect will start in place of Emmanuel Mosley? I don't know what that means, but that's an interesting thing for Kyle Shanahan to hint at. So I don't know. I have no idea what Ambry Thomas has been looking like in practice. So we'll find out if he does get on the field for the 49ers. But that's a huge key to victory. We talked about it yesterday in the crossover pod. Those are some beastly wide receivers you got to cover. I don't even know. Even if Emmanuel Mosley was playing, I wouldn't know how you would want. I guess you'd rather have Mosley on Ja'Marr Chase because he's more athletic. And then maybe the size matchup is better for Norman with T. Higgins. But I mean, with T. Higgins, his size, if he's one-on-one, if he's covered, he's still open because he's so big, or he's got the ball skills. He's really good at going up and pulling the ball down. And Joe Burrow is not afraid to chuck it. Play action, he'll chuck it deep. You blitz him, he'll find the one-on-one, and he'll give his guys a shot. And Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins win in such different ways, but they're both really good at getting open down the field. And so the Niners are going to have to beat it.
If it's in the high ankle sprain for – Emmanuel Mosley, which that was the last report I saw, he ain't coming back. And if he does, and again, there are different grades of high ankle sprain, so I don't want to say his is exactly like what I experienced, but I know mine right away. Even if I would have tried to play when I actually did try to play next game, because originally they told me it was just a regular ankle sprain, clearly wasn't. They didn't take me to get an x-ray right away. So they tried to play me in the next game. I was collapsing during practice. Like, I tried to, like, backpedal. They heavily taped it during practice. My ligaments were kind of, like, giving out. Like, it was so painful. And I played a little bit in the game, but I could only run straight. Like, I couldn't make any, like, lateral movements at all. And that was with a cortisone shot. So they had to just take me out, and I ended up going on IR. That's when they took me to get the x-ray and saw that there was a fracture and there was ligament damage and there was actually a high ankle sprain. So if he has anything that's similar to like what I had, I mean, that I dealt with that for a while, not just a week, 2 weeks, not even just a month, probably because there's a chance I maybe made it worse, but it was so bad. Like the high ankle sprain. Yeah. If that's what it is, 1 week, no, I wouldn't expect to see him until playoff time.
Yeah, and the initial report was high ankle sprain, and it would be a few weeks. But the fact they didn't put him on IR made me think it would be less than 3 weeks potentially, or maybe they're just crossing their fingers and hoping. But it seems very unlikely that we're going to see Emmanuel Mosley for a while. Croc, any other keys to victory in this one? Oh, yeah, so my keys to victory was don't get just completely toasted on the back end. Like you might have to, you know, play a lot of quarters in this one, or you know, two high safeties. I feel like, you know, keep somebody over the top of Ja'Marr Chase and then just hope that whoever's on T. Higgins can, you know, get his hands in there and bat some balls down. I don't know. For some reason, this game more than a lot of others, I feel like there's a lot of potential for the Niners to get beat deep and on the outside with Joe Burrow and those two wide receivers. So that's a
I have pushback, though.
Limiting those guys. Like,
it hasn't happened this year, right? I mean, you can look at the Philadelphia Eagles game where it happened twice and it was on Lenore. It was on the same guy. Aside from that, what games have you seen like that being an issue in multiple times throughout a game? I'd say the 49ers have gotten more big plays vertically down the field on opposing teams than they've had against them. And they've played against some big-time receivers that can stretch the field.
Last week with – I mean, we talked about it with the PIs too. I think that's one of the things with Josh Norman. Josh Norman likes to hold on so he doesn't get beat deep. So, you know, it doesn't go on his stats. It goes on the PI stats instead of the defensive yard stats. But – he got beat by DK. Ball was thrown out of bounds. DK got another deep touchdown against the 49ers on the other side. So last week, and that was without Emmanuel Mosley, right? So that's what worries me a little bit. And if you look at the stats from the Bengals week to week, I mean, let's see here. Hold on.
They get vertical. Now, yeah, this team, knowing that they're going to take their vertical shots, That does worry me. I mean, you know that DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, you know, Justin Jefferson, you're going to see vertical shots, and it didn't hurt the 49ers. But for Ja'Marr Chase, that is how he wins.
Right.
Like, and I think right now, like, that's what he's most comfortable with. You know, he is a guy who I don't think he's consistently, you know, I talked about it, about his, I don't want to say inability to separate, but he struggled, you know, underneath to get separation. Where he wins right now, it's vertically. So that's something that, you know, 49ers, like, hey, you know, he wins this way. Matter of fact, the last five games, if I'm not mistaken, because I do this thing for Lions Sports, the last five games for Justin Jefferson, I believe they're all under 50 yards receiving. And that's because teams are starting to limit the big ball. How are they doing that? Maybe playing a little bit more too high.
Week one, Ja'Marr Chase, 101 yards receiving. Then Boyd was the leading receiver. Then it was Chase again. Then it was Boyd, 118 yards. Then it was Chase, 159 yards. Chase, 97 yards. Chase, 201 yards against Baltimore in week seven. Then all of a sudden, Higgins took over. Then it was Higgins. Last week, he had 138 receiving yards. I think it was two touchdowns. Or no, it was two touchdowns maybe the week four, 114 yards. 97 yards for Higgins. So Joe Burrow tries it, throws a good deep ball, and both of his receivers are good at getting deep down the field, and then he's got Boyd over the middle. So he's got other options too when he's not going deep. But it's a big part of their game plan, and I think more so than a lot of other teams. I would say the Seahawks are probably the next closest team, and then maybe Aaron Rodgers with Davante Adams as far as just opportunities that he lets loose and goes deep outside the numbers. So we'll see what the 49ers counter is to that, and if Joe Mixon's playing, if they're able to have enough in the box to stop the run too. So a lot of play action coming from those Bengals and Joe Burrow and taking those shot plays too. So I don't know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a chess match. So D'Amico Ryans has his work cut out for him. Niners pass rush. That's why that's the number one key to victory, right? Don't allow him the time to drop back and fire those deep balls. Discipline.
Real quick, talk about discipline, right? I just saw a play in the Pittsburgh Vikings game where a defensive back, they had a nice tackle for loss on a screenplay. And he kind of like stood over the dude, maybe said something, and, you know, and they threw a flag on him. And that's just kind of undisciplined because you know how they're calling these games. But I did like Anthony Barr. His reaction was like to shove him. Like he shoved him and told him, get out of here, like get off the field, you know? So to have, they're up 29-0, but to have, you know, one of your leaders of the defense, like, you know, like, listen, we're not going to tolerate that. We're not going to have that. It needs to be that guy for 49ers. And they took that defensive back out of the game. He is not in the game right now. So that's how you want something to stop happening. Take him out and have somebody, have a player hold him accountable, especially the way that Anthony Barr did.
One more I have actually key to victory here is keep feeding George Kittle, especially if Debo Samuel's not going to be out there. Kyle Shanahan was asked about why George Kittle wasn't on the field. Did you hear that? Because he wasn't on the field on that fourth and one play that was the failed zone read with Jimmy G, where he was supposed to hand it off and not keep it, but there was the snap, whatever it was, false start.
Yeah.
I was blown away by this. Kyle Shanahan said it was because we don't want him for that play. It's schematic stuff, but it has to do with what we think people are best at. Is there a play on the football field that you run on offense that George Kittle's not the tight end you want? Like, was it Charlie Warner who was on the field? That just blows me away. And if you're on defense and there's no George Kittle, that just takes an entire element of what you're able to do. And if you're trying to run the ball and George Kittle, it's for sure one of your best, three blockers on the team. And that's including offensive linemen. And it's a run play. So what the hell? That makes zero sense to me.
Yeah. Whatever Kyle was thinking wouldn't work with George Kittle. Like, throw that out. I don't think that there's anything like you was like, there's nothing where you need a high level play on the offensive ball that George Kittle can't do. You've done reverses with him. You just did that little moon motion thing where you toss the ball back to him. You did that with him when you usually use Debo for that. You've done, screens, shot plays, contested catch. You've used them every which way in blocking. What play could there possibly be that he's not able to win the rep? Like, what is that, Kyle? Sometimes, Kyle, you know what? And I get a lot of these mentions. I get a lot of mentions in my comments and stuff. You guys think you know more than Kyle Shanahan. Like, dude, sometimes I think Kyle Shanahan overthinks things.
He, for sure. He overthought that one. Keep George Kittle on the field on fourth and one.
George Kittle? Doesn't do something? What are we talking about?
49ers have added veteran running back Brian Hill. Last note here, he has 209 career rushing attempts for 982 yards, 4.7 average with 3 touchdowns. Pretty good average there for Brian Hill to be on the street right now.
Play for Atlanta, right?
Atlanta, yeah. And he also has 38 receptions for 313 yards and 1 touchdown. So if Elijah Mitchell's out, maybe Brian Hill, the newest 49er, could potentially be that number 3 running back after Jeff Wilson and Jamichael Hasty. We will see. That's it for us today. It's going to be a good one in Cincinnati, 49ers and Bengals in week 14. And as always, Croc and I will be here post game to break it all down. Thanks for making us your first listen, by the way, and hit that subscribe button. Locked on 49ers.